Welcome to The Deep End by On Deck, a podcast where visionary builders, creators, and thinkers discuss world-changing stories and ideas. I'm your host, Marshall Kozlov. Let's dive in.
It should be possible to send an NFT to someone that doesn't have a Phantom wallet already, right? It should be possible to send an NFT to a phone number. Payments should be easy with Phantom, right? Looks like this Venmo-like experience should be really easy with Phantom. And so we sort of have those types of things on the roadmap, and we are definitely investing in sort of Phantom's own growth engine and Phantom as a destination.
On Deck is where ambitious people worldwide go to start companies, find their next roles, and invest in their careers. The Deep End invites the founders, operators, and investors from the On Deck community and beyond to turn their experiences into the ideas others need to start their own odysseys. Joining me this week in The Deep End is Francesco Agosti. Francesco is an ODF alum and co-founder and CTO of Phantom, a wallet for the Solana blockchain. We've had many Web3 guests on the show in the past year, but none have focused on the wallet. Wallet applications are one of the primary ways in which users interact with blockchains directly. They come in many different forms. Some are custodial, meaning they are managed by third parties like Coinbase. Others are non-custodial, meaning nobody owns the public-private keys other than the wallet's user. Because of how central these applications are to the user experience, we figured it was time to have a leader in the space come on the show. Phantom is the leading wallet on the Solana blockchain. The Solana ecosystem had its breakout moment last summer, and builders like Francesco are continuing to develop infrastructure to create a consumer-friendly experience. In this episode, Francesco highlights how the current status quo requires users to not trust, but to verify. And he talks about how to work towards shifting this mindset. Our discussion also touches on phishing hacks, security best practices, staking, and the challenge of onboarding new folks to Web3. To learn more about Phantom, visit phantom.app. All right, time for the episode. Let's dive in. Francesco Agosti, welcome to The Deep End.
Thanks for having me, Marshall.
I'm excited to speak with you about Phantom, Solana, crypto wallets. We've done a lot of big picture Web3 episodes, the history, the movements, a lot of the different players. So this is cool to actually talk with someone who's actually onboarding folks into the ecosystem and really interacting with the spaces. So I'd want to start with two questions. One, just who are you, Francesco? You know, what got you interested in this broad space? And then like, what does Phantom do? And like, how does it relate to crypto wallets?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, by the way. I actually was an On Deck ODF3 member, so good to be back in the ecosystem. So I'm Francesco, CTO and founder of Phantom. We started Phantom officially in May 2021, although we were working on it a little bit before that. Phantom is now the number one wallet on Solana. So you can sort of think of it as the MetaMask of Solana in a very simple way. We have about 2.5 million users, monthly actives. Yeah, and by far the number one wallet on Solana. We have we're on iOS, soon to be Android, and obviously we have what you can call the flagship product, which is the Chrome extension, available in Firefox as well.
So this is, like you said, you officially started in May 21, but you were thinking about this for a while. Like, what got you interested in the space?
Sure. So I got into crypto back in 2014, just because of the Bitcoin bull run, and was super interested in just trading Bitcoin and the idea of being able to trade Bitcoin and write trading bots that sort of can make money on exchanges, and sort of kept my eye on crypto for a long time, and finally decided to do it full time in 2018 when I joined 0x. 0x is a decentralized exchange protocol on Ethereum. I met my co-founders there. So I met Chris and Brandon there. Chris was a director of design and Brandon was an engineering manager, my manager actually. And we built a lot of early crypto products there and sort of even on day one, MetaMask was present, right? So even in 2018, MetaMask was a big presence in the ecosystem and was sort of the default Ethereum wallet and default developer tool as well. And then after a few years of building apps and interacting with MetaMask and seeing MetaMask grow and seeing the ecosystem grow, you know, when we first started, it was maybe you were lucky to have tens of thousands of users, and Phantom got, you know, in 2021, got to 2 million relatively quickly. So things have really changed, and we realized how important the wallet was. And we just had a lot of awesome ideas on how to improve it. And we thought we had the right team to build sort of what the wallet is supposed to be in Web3. And then I can speak to a little bit why we decided to build on Solana first as well.
And before we get there, just what is a crypto wallet? Because like you said, what sure. I love about the way you're explaining Phantom is that onboarding new users isn't just like a tech talking point. Like you actually are bringing on millions of people. So congratulations for that being a real, we don't have to have the discussion in the hypothetical as you often do. So just what is the crypto wallet that you're onboarding people into? And then we'll get into Solana.
Sure. I can just give a really brief overview of what wallets are. I like to take almost like a historical view of it, where there's this one very important dimension, which is custodial versus non-custodial. So Coinbase, you can sort of think as Coinbase as the first wallet, or I guess the first mainstream wallet, where Coinbase, you know, founded in 2012, there really wasn't Ethereum back then. Ethereum was built, you know, the Ethereum ICO was in 2015, 2016. And so back then it was, crypto was all about sort of holding assets and speculating on assets, right? And yeah, sure, sending, receiving, but those are sort of the basic actions. And Coinbase let you do that and let you do that in this custodial way, where they actually have your private keys on their servers and they sort of abstract the blockchain away and pretend like it's not there. So you're sort of just using a fintech app, and all you see are balances and the ability to interact with those balances. Then when Ethereum launched, I'd say there was this other category. I mean, self-custodial wallets were always around. Like you could self-custody Bitcoin, for example, way back then as well. But I think what really changed with Ethereum is that it suddenly became more important to have access to this private key and to be able to use it to sign transactions. So basically, like, the design space of crypto really blew up, and crypto or blockchains became a developer platform instead of just an asset class, I guess. So, you know, you started seeing things like CryptoKitties, you started seeing decentralized finance applications where you could lend and borrow, and all of this was sort of happening outside the wallet. And so I really think around that time you started seeing this new category of wallet, which Phantom falls into, which is not only self-custodial, but lets you take sort of, lets you sign transactions on blockchain platforms and lets you interact with these new types of applications. So yeah, that trend started in 2015 with Ethereum and MetaMask and others. And we, you know, we sort of were early on Solana. So Solana is a similar platform to Ethereum where developers can deploy programs and not only sort of NFT drops, but again, any sort of application. And they use the number one wallet to do those types of things on Solana is Phantom today.
So you said something interesting when you were talking about Coinbase. You said it abstracts the blockchain away. Hmm. When you're looking at new users, people who heard about NFTs or are going to your platform or using your wallet, how interested are they in abstracting things away? How much are they thinking about self-custody? How much do those basically ideas matter relative to, hey, I just want to buy an NFT and do it safely?
Sure. Yeah. Good question. I wouldn't say Phantom doesn't also abstract the blockchain away. Maybe I should have said we don't abstract, or we don't hide the private key from you, I guess. So we still let you take these important actions and sort of take these arbitrary actions, really, right? So like anything that an application wants you to do, you can do with Phantom. So maybe that's the better way of saying it. We are definitely in the business of abstracting the blockchain. I think it's less abstracted when you're using Phantom today. than Coinbase. It's, I think there's a natural tension there where we're still trying to figure out what the right abstraction is or what the right layer of abstraction is. You know, one thing that comes to mind is addresses. Like, in the future, will people have their crypto addresses in their wallets or know their addresses or not? I think is an interesting question. And will they necessarily know, like, that they are signing a transaction with their public key or with their private key, or are they, do they just know that they're taking certain actions in the same way? So I think we're as a company, I think we're definitely moving towards that world. And one distinction between us and other wallets, or like sort of where our, I think, visions, or sort of one way to cut how Phantom is different, is we are way more interested in that world. And one thing we like to say is that MetaMask was very geared towards developers, whereas Phantom is very, very geared towards consumers and very much seeks to make those experiences user-friendly and you know, lower the technical know-how required to sort of do those things in a safe way, right?
It's, you know, it's funny, Francisco, I rarely hear the words user-friendly and anything Web3 related in the same sentence. So when you're trying to build out in a way that's friendly to consumers, not just developers, what does that actually look like?
I think one example top of mind is because of the recent phishing attacks on OpenSea, is making it such that, I think there's a sort of culture in crypto today, which is don't trust, verify. I think that's one dimension where maybe you could have a philosophical difference. Current wallets put a lot of pressure or put a lot of onus on users to sort of figure out what's happening. And instead of having an opinion on what is safe and what is not, sort of their stance is to give users as much information as possible and hope for the best. But in general, wallets today will let you do dangerous things. So I think that's one dimension where Phantom is still investing and still improving. But one thing Phantom does today is shows you sort of, for any transaction, it shows you what balances will change in a very easy to parse UI, right? So no matter where you are, you can sort of see, no matter what dApp you are, you can sort of see what the financial outcome of the transaction will be for you. I think there's sort of just more consumer-friendly things we do as well, just around displaying NFTs. It's pretty surprising that, at least in the extension, it's like not really easy to see your NFTs in MetaMask, whereas for us, it's just a simple tab. And you can sort of see, in the same way that you would see on OpenSea, your NFTs within Phantom. There's a lot of other dimensions to improve here. I think onboarding can be improved for everyone, like seed phrases definitely work, but they feel like it's not really clear whether they'll bring us to 100 million users. But certainly in the tens of millions, it seems to be working on some level, but they're just dangerous.
So that's, and obviously you want a billion users, but is 100 million users the real metric you're driving towards right now?
No, we're definitely, you know, we definitely want a billion users. I guess that was, there's a sort of notion of like, how far can seed phrases take you? And we may already be past it, but I think certainly around the 100 million user market, it's probably not a smart thing to continue perpetuating in the ecosystem, and something needs to change around onboarding, where users aren't asked to, you know, write 12 words on a piece of paper and hide it under their mattress. Yeah.
That's a funny example. I love you using the hide it under your mattress example, because it's one of those spaces where it's Web3, it's the future, but it also seems like something our great-great-grandparents would do with their actual gold. It's both the future, but it's also deeply the past in a way that's probably unsettling to people. To that point, though, as you all have just onboarded lots and lots of people, often who are new to the space, what have just been like interesting points of contact that have led you to look at that? Let me put it this way, right? So you've been doing this. You've been interested in the space since 2014, like you said. So you have all these assumptions, you have all these expectations, but I'm sure you'll have someone come onto the system since May 2021 and say like, hey, like, this actually isn't clear, or this isn't obvious, or things shouldn't work. Have there been examples that just come to mind of organic learnings that have come from this?
Learnings about how crypto is unintuitive today?
Yeah, unintuitive. So for example, like you said, the seed phases, things that basically, the things that aren't going to make it, I guess we could put it that way.
That not wag me. There's a lot. So I guess maybe one thing I haven't said is that I still think it's early days. And I think we're still sort of discovering what the ultimate manifestation of a wallet is. And there's a lot of those examples, right? I already mentioned the seed phrase. I think anytime you sort of onboard a new friend, and I think Phantom is sort of better than the rest here, but there, anytime you onboard a new friend, you sort of see their first instinct being sending themselves the seed phrase in their email or putting it somewhere maybe not necessarily secure. There's also, I think, a lot of confusion around the platforms and the chains themselves. So one question I often get when trying to onboard someone is, oh, great, can I put my, you know, Ethereum NFT into here? Or can I put my Bitcoin into Phantom or into any wallet, really? And it can be sometimes confusing when the answer is no. And that, you know, the reason the answer is no is because right now, wallets sort of support one chain. There are some wallets that support multiple in certain ways. But, you know, for example, MetaMask supports many EVM chains in their own way. But I think it's often confusing for people that whose mental model is sort of like, I have assets on a blockchain, or I have assets on the blockchain, or I have crypto assets. And then like, it's weird to them that like those crypto assets don't work on every wallet or are not compatible. Like this whole compatibility notion is kind of confusing for people. That's a big one. Yeah. And I guess I will say that Phantom's vision is to be multi-chain, and while we are Solana first, our next stop will be VM this year.
And what's VM?
I should clarify. So when I say that our next stop is EVM, I mean, we will be looking to support EVM based blockchains. So basically Ethereum and like that whole family of blockchains that use this sort of, you could say, common language between them. So the most important thing is that as a developer on one EVM chain, you can sort of redeploy a program. You can redeploy a program that you wrote for EVM chain one on EVM chain two and not have to do any extra work. Whereas that's not the case for Solana, where you would typically have to write your contract from scratch. Although there are sort of compatibility solutions. Neon comes to mind, but in general, that's the paradigm that you're working with as a developer.
So I was asked the obvious question, why did you start with Solana? What, just, you know, no doubt what a listener is going to be wondering if they're new to the space.
Yeah. Well, at the time it was a more contrarian bet, I think. So, we were often asked that question. I think we were honestly pretty bullish on Solana. The obvious, like, it's fast and cheap, really resonated. I think building products at 0x, we realized that was it's sort of been the elephant in the room for a really long time. And then I think 2021 is when the elephant finally reared its head, or like when finally people
metaphors were like,
where people were like, okay. And it was sort of clear to us then, like, the speed and the cost was sort of, it wasn't going to bring in the mainstream. And then we just thought of, we liked Solana for that reason. We also saw like the nascent ecosystem being very promising. We liked who we saw building there. We thought it had a good developer ecosystem. We were just bullish. Although at the time it was really mostly Serum and maybe Radium, and the NFT standard didn't even exist when we started Phantom. So like it was still very much early days, but there wasn't a flagship wallet for what felt like would be a flagship blockchain, or like an important blockchain. And so we saw an opportunity to start with Solana, knowing that the ultimate goal would be to support multiple chains and to one day go back to, you know, EVM or Ethereum or whatever you want to call that class of blockchains.
When did the Solana first approach go from, like you said, a very like bullish take to just an obvious thing to do? Because there's this moment that, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like I can't, once again, I'm just a podcaster, but there was just this moment where I feel like I woke up one day and it's like, oh yeah, Solana versus that wasn't what you were doing in May 2021. I mean, that's why you're in a good place right now. But when did that happen to you?
It's a good question. It does feel like it sort of happened all at once. Obviously, I think there was a lot of building going on. Like Serum is a really awesome project. A lot of really awesome things happened. But I think one big milestone was just NFTs on Solana. So yeah, before, as I mentioned, when we started Phantom, there was no what today is called the Metaplex standard. So it's like the NFT standard for Solana. But while we were building Phantom, it did develop. And so NFTs became possible and we started supporting them on Solana. And I think the big event that made us go from 100,000 to a million users was NFT drops. I think the specific moment was the DGen Apes. I'm not sure if the audience is familiar with that project, but it's sort of like these cool looking 3D, you know, a classic profile picture project, 3D apes that are quite cool, have different rarities that you can place as your profile picture on Twitter or whatever social media platform you're on. And it felt like that one in particular caught a lot of attention. And after that, it was just sort of, project after project, acquiring more and more users. So that was the moment. I think, we and that's, it's funny because at the time we were actually working on Ethereum support. And we decided that we needed to double down on Solana for the time being, just because the amount of traction was so crazy. Like we honestly didn't know how many users we'd get in the first year, but we did not expect it to be this high. So it was really awesome. It was really awesome that the bet that we made early on paid off in a big way.
Yeah, and just quick to go back for a second, can you explain what Serum is for the listeners?
Man, yeah, I keep on using terms that are maybe not.
You're not too bad. Trust me, we've been there. the ratio here is very fair. It's good.
The short version is that Serum is sort of a decentralized exchange built on Solana. That is sort of that's like the one liner. What's special about Serum is I think it shows off what Solana is capable of. So the dream, or maybe not the dream, but the technical achievement that's very impressive with Serum is that the orders are actually on chain. And so you sort of have this like Coinbase like exchange in terms of model where you are posting orders to a database on Coinbase basically, but doing that on a blockchain and doing, you know, having these orders posted in under a second, right? So blocks being 400 milliseconds. So really sort of having this like high latency exchange running on a blockchain was sort of the killer demo. So when we saw that, we got pretty excited. On Ethereum, you have nothing like that because it's not possible. On Ethereum, you have, you know, the Uniswaps and the AMMs because that model is way more suitable for the constraints that exist on Ethereum. Whereas Serum was sort of like this flagship demo of like what Solana could do. So yeah, that's sort of the longer version of it.
Yeah, it's funny. Something I'm wondering here, now that you're basically in this number one slot, to what degree is your continued growth in this space going to come down to just branding and name recognition? And how much of it is going to be features, additives, those different parts?
The way we think about growth, yeah, I mean, there's a few different growth levers that Phantom has. So I think the answer is both. Like, so a lot of our growth does come from developers, right? So there is this virtuous cycle where we are number one, every developer on Solana chooses to integrate with us. And then they, you know, if they have success, they acquire users. And usually every user they acquire, we also acquire if it's a new user. And so we acquire users, which makes us, you know, more so the number one or more dominant. And then like, that means that we're more likely to be chosen by developers in the future. And there is sort of this like very natural growth engine there. You could call that sort of the ecosystem driven growth. And And there, I think the control we have over it is just to make a world-class developer experience and make sure that we are like, not only in terms of number of users, but also in terms of developer experience and sort of features on that side, sort of number one and the best. As you mentioned, we also have like our own, we are also sort of a standalone app, and we are also a destination, and we also have like our own growth loop. one big thing for us was like adding staking. I think today we're probably one of the most popular places to stake Solana in the ecosystem.
And what does staking Solana mean?
Staking Solana means, and there's a similar concept for Ethereum, it means that if you are a SOL holder, the verb is stake, so you can sort of deposit your Solana into a validator that is securing the network and processing transactions on the network and earn yield on that Solana. So typically it's like a 7% or so yield, I believe. So it's basically free money. If you're a passive holder, it's like a way to get free money in by supporting the platform or by supporting the blockchain. And I'd say we're probably one of the number one places to do that today. But I think now, especially that we have mobile, there's going to be more traditional growth loops available to us. So, if you want to send your friend an NFT, that's done through Phantom. And I think one theme for this year for us is going to be improving those loops and making them more seamless. So, it should be possible to send an NFT to someone that doesn't have a Phantom wallet already, right? It should be possible to send an NFT to a phone number. Payments should be easy with Phantom, right? Looks like this Venmo like experience should be really easy with Phantom. And so we sort of have those types of things on the roadmap, and we are definitely investing in sort of Phantom's own growth engine and Phantom as a destination as well.
And that's really interesting, because hearing what you're saying, I'd love for you to explain what you meant by now that we're on mobile, because it seems, especially looking through your early materials, the fact that you had a good Chrome extension set up was really important. So like, what does this milestone mean in terms of the company, its growth, and just the broader building out of the space?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe to compare, I think one thing that the extension has going for it is this ecosystem-led growth that I mentioned earlier, I think pairs very well with the extension. I actually think it's one reason that MetaMask and these extension-based wallets have been so successful, actually, relative to maybe to other mobile wallets, referring to maybe other mobile wallets on Ethereum that have had definitely far fewer users. I think there's something there around like how easy it is to use these mostly today web-based decentralized applications using a Chrome extension wallet. But there's always sort of been this open question about like when there's always been, I guess, this other elephant in the room, which is mobile or Web3 on mobile kind of leaves a lot to be desired. Like it definitely feels like Web3 is a desktop experience today, almost.
Another irony.
Yeah. And so, and that's where mobile comes in, right? So I think what I'm implying there is, I think, yeah, mobile as a platform is, I think, has a lot of room to grow in terms of like this ecosystem-led growth. I think there's a lot better developer APIs and experiences to be built there, right? So today, Phantom relies on, and a lot of other wallets rely on this dApp browser concept, which works in the very same way as the extension. So the idea is that there's a little browser within the Phantom iOS app, and you can visit the same websites you can visit in your Chrome browser with your Phantom Chrome extension and sort of do the same actions, and sort of you're sort of viewing Web3 in this window through the wallet. I think there's just a whole world of improvement there, especially around standards, like around app to app or dApp to dApp communication on mobile. But in terms of the mobile platform, I think, more traditional fintech companies have figured out a growth model that works, and it's largely mobile driven, right? It has to do with like, the ease of payments on mobile, sort of these flows that are way more natural on mobile, like paying a friend or sending an NFT to a friend. Or I think there's a lot more potential there for mobile than there is necessarily on the extension. Push notifications is another one where it's sort of a user experience you come to expect in Web2, but is sort of lacking in Web3 today. Like, you know, knowing when someone bid on your NFT on OpenSea, it's just way more of a, you know, you certainly get emails today from OpenSea. That's great. But it's, it feels like mobile is the platform that like makes, takes that to the next level. So there's all sorts of things like that that just make a lot more sense on mobile and are a lot better on mobile.
Like we said, we're talking about 100 million, a billion users, people who have no exposure to these spaces, the history, et cetera. What is going to be on everyone's mind, though, is issues of safety. Talking about phishing, scams, how do you think about how Phantom plays into that discussion and how you could ensure that people, and this probably relates to a combination of the brand and the features we were discussing earlier, feel safe using your wallet?
Totally. Yeah, I mean, safety is very important to us, and it's something we've always invested in, and especially around this time that I alluded to earlier where we hit an inflection point with users, it sort of became increasingly clear that a lot of work needs to go into that, right? So when we were sort of, when around the time that the DGen apes were coming, we realized that, you know, all these phishing attacks also started happening. So the short-term things that we've done is, one is just like, in, when it comes to these actual phishing attempts, we're extremely aggressive about shutting them down. So we have relationships and contracts with various security companies where we, when we do find a phishing attempt, we can easily shut it down. We've also ramped up support. So, you know, we have a 5-person support team now answering questions all the time. We have our own block list as well. So every time we see a malicious dApp, we add it to that. And Phantom has this advantage as a Chrome extension that it allows you not to use the website if it's malicious. The other technology or product-oriented thing that we've done is this transaction simulation. So the cool thing about that is that for any transaction, before this feature, Phantom sort of needed to know about the type of transaction or about the dApp in order to show you useful information about it. There's sort of this broader issue of like part, you know, knowing how to display transactions. That's sort of an ongoing thing. But for this feature, we actually allow you to see, you know, see what the financial outcome of submitting the transaction is for you in terms of token balances and NFT balances. So you can sort of see whether a transaction is trying to drain your wallet really easily and really plainly. I think long term, there is this question of trust. And I alluded to this earlier when I said the culture in crypto today is very much don't trust, verify. I think there is room, or there definitely needs to be someone in the ecosystem. It's probably wallets that need to build this trust layer and sort of build this layer of trust between contracts and transactions and tokens and users. So sort of all this like on-chain stuff. Basically, there needs to be someone that like verifies things and gives contracts the verified badge, so to speak. I think wallets can play an important role there. And it's probably something we'll have to start doing in the future. Just because, again, we found this model of like letting the user verify by giving them a ton of information is maybe not, can still lead to bad outcomes, right? So if the user doesn't verify, that, you know, they're fallible, and so like they can still do things that maybe they did not want to. And so I think long term having this layer of trust is where we need to go.
No, that's great, because I was going to ask you about where you think the space is going to go, literally. Right. So you answered that. So let's just close here. Like you said, you know, this is an On Deck podcast. You're an ODF thread. I'd love you just to, you know, give us a second on like your ODF experience, like how it was useful, like how you found it, because it's just really exciting to see the people like you who are building our members of the community and everything like that.
Yeah, sure. I was part of ODF 3. So I guess ODF 5.
Oh, that's my bad.
It's confusing because I had a lot of friends. It definitely felt like there was a period in my life where all my friends were doing On Deck. And so I have friends, close friends who did ODF 3, ODF 4. So I was like, okay, I'll do it too. I really enjoyed just getting to know everyone. I thought the networking in particular was a great part of it, and getting to know getting to know the other on-deck members was a great experience. And I'd say it even has like a solid sort of crypto constituency as well. So I got to meet a lot of people in the space that I sort of knew of, but didn't know personally. So, and I got to know a lot of those people in on-deck. On-deck was also extremely supportive in terms of early Phantom users. And yeah, a lot of valuable feedback came from on-deck people that I had met. Overall, I recommend it to anyone.
Yeah, I hope we do have a better pitch than all of your friends are doing it. That is, I hope there's someone in the on-deck team who's listening who has a better thing than that. Well, you know, Francesco, this has been really great. I think it's particularly of note that you all have transitioned from the what's the narrative to the how do we actually physically then build now that we're really leaning into that. So I think that's really exciting. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what Phantom is up to next.
Cool. Thanks, Marshall.
Thanks for joining us in the deep end. If you enjoyed your stay, give us a review on Apple Podcasts and share this episode with your friends and colleagues to help grow the show with us. We've also got show notes and more episodes available at ideas.beyonddeck.com. See you next time.